Paul, I've had a crap morning.
Normally I would celebrate that, but what's wrong?
Let me
sit back in my chair and
yeah, you might need a cigar, some scotch. I am very
would you
perplexed.
Say that this started when you were a child?
No, this specifically started when I became a homeowner, and I bought insurance. So let me explain to you the current situation that my insurance agent called me about yesterday.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So he called me and said, hey, so I like most people, I pay bills, right? I pay my insurance every quarter. It's just what we do. We pay it quarterly. And so I've been paying it. I paid it last quarter. And he called me. He's like, yeah, hey, the insurance company never got the check. I'm like, wait a minute. I pay you. Mm-hmm. You pay them.
Yep.
Like, this is how it works. He's an independent insurance agent. He can whatever do Safeco. He can do Travelers. He can do whatever, whatever. So that yeah. And it's online. So I pay him. What the hell is that noise? I pay him. Then he cuts the check. And he's like, yeah, they never got the check. We claim that we sent them the check. I have evidence they sent the check. Somebody over there cashed the check, but it never got applied to your account.
Okay.
And he's like,
sounds like you'll be safe.
Yeah. Or not. I don't know. And so, like, he's gone back and forth. He's like, I think you need to call them. Like, no. No, no.
Mm-mm. No, this no. is why you're. This is why we have a middleman.
This is why I pay this you.
This is the service you actually provide.
Yes, this is the thing.
And now you're telling me the one time it actually comes up,
right?
And you're not providing it.
And like I am just so annoyed about this because here's what he wants me to do, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to end up finding a new insurance agent. So I need to get shit sorted out in case my house catches on fire. It's all covered or whatever. It's like $1,200. He's like, okay, so you just need to write a check to the new company until we get the old stuff sorted out. I'm like, no. This is.
Sounds like you need to write a check. That would have been my response.
No, that's what I told him. Like, you have to cover this. Like, I'm not. Yeah. I pay you. You make sure stuff's handled. That is the point of the service.
That is.
And it's like, whatever. Good. I can write the check for. That's not the point. The point here, I'm just so annoyed about this. And this has been like 3 hours of my morning was talking with different people and it's still not sorted. It's like, yeah, we sent the check. They cashed the check, but they didn't apply it to your account. So I'm like, okay, so where's my $1,200 at? Like it's somewhere.
Yeah. So, you know how I would react in a situation like this. And I don't mean to suggest that my reaction is the correct reaction, just that you would understand what my reaction would be. For example, you witnessed me explaining to Asian people how Asian food works. This, you know, this is a thing that happened. I explained to a French waiter one time how cafes work, and this should never have to happen. I should always be the more ignorant one in this situation. Mm-hmm. B, these are the types of things that should never happen. Like what you just described is like no, that's like no, it's that's terrible.
Yeah, and to correct Frederick, whatever, I can't pronounce his last name in the chair. I mean, it's not a physical check. It's just kind of the terminology. It's all electronic. It's just electronic transfers, but I'm using the terminology of check.
Yeah, right. In other words, people are imagining a pen comes out, paper is written on, it's mailed somewhere maybe. There is some transaction that occurs in a data center. Well, not a data center, a banking, what we call it, a banking routing center or whatever. No, it's all electronic.
It's just like, you know, just
no, it's this kind of thing's infuriating.
Oh, it is. And this is going to be one of those things where I'm going to have to pay $1,200, I guarantee it. And then I'm going to have to wait some unknown number of months to get $1,200 back. And
yeah,
you
just gave someone a free loan.
Yeah. And I just, all I really want to do is kill people. That's it. This is how people go postal. Like, this is it. This is the start of it.
I did this with a Dell device. It might have been last spring or the spring before. I had bought one, like a new 8-inch tablet, and I got it, and it was a piece of crap, so I returned it. And 2 weeks went by. You could see they had accepted the return. They had gotten it back. Contacted them. I said, hey, am I getting my money back on this thing? What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
They're like, yeah, you know, we have a certain number of days, whatever. And I was like, that's fascinating, but you have it back. You can see it's in mint condition. I'd like my money back. I didn't do this to give you a free loan.
Right.
A month went by. I started finally just tweeting about it. Finally, Dell, someone on Dell, you know, Dell at Dell or something caught wind of this and they finally fixed it. But it was like, guys, like, you know, third biggest PC maker in the world. Like, seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not here to give you money. You know, like I just, yeah, I this kind of thing makes me crazy.
And so Kijo, probably, I'm guessing he's probably not American, asks, why middleman? Well, the way it works here is that he's just a representative for different companies. He's not like just State Farm. And so the benefit of doing something like that is that when I get angry because my rates go up, I send him an email and he says, okay, here's your options. And it keeps your, it typically pays for itself multiple times over.
If he's a good representative, he will proactively go to you and say, hey, by the way, this thing just happened. Maybe someone's rates went up. Maybe someone's rates went down. And, you know, if we just move your stuff over to this, you're going to save X number of dollars a quarter, whatever it is. You know, it should just, yeah, I'm not, and I don't, from coming at it from another country, you may listen to this and think this is a hugely inefficient way to do things. And it probably is. But the problem is nothing we do in the United States is right. So whether it's health, no, I mean this, like healthcare, insurance, education, whatever you want to point to.
Our bacon's right, though, compared to Canadian bacon.
That's true. But if once you've experienced pork belly, you'll understand why bacon is a sad joke. But anyway, the point is we have to step through these hoops sometimes. Just to try. It's like the wireless carrier situation is like this. Yep. Like, yeah, you know, the system's broken. We're working with it. This is the lot.
Yes, Brad Sams in Cincinnati, Ohio, cannot single-handedly fix this situation. And he did clarify that he's from Finland, and so that's probably why it doesn't make sense. I mean, in some instances, you can go directly to the insurance carrier. Actually, I'm almost positive you can, but it's not. It's one of those
things.
We do
exactly the same thing you did when we moved to Pennsylvania last year. One of the deals was we had been dealing with a small insurance company in Dedham Square for many years. And one of the 2,000 things we had to figure out was now we need a new one of these things. The rules and the laws are different in Pennsylvania. You know, you work at home. I don't know if you've ever dealt with this stuff with your insurance, but at one point our insurgents agency, it's a different kind of insurance agency, had come to us and said, hey, you guys both work at home. There's a different level of protection you might actually need because if someone delivers a package to your door and they slip on your, you know, steps or whatever, you might actually be liable and blah, blah, blah. You know, so there's all these things you kind of have to, you know, figure out. It's confusing and expensive.
It is. And it's just
insurgents agency.
I mean, you I might like need that. Insurgents insurance potentially.
Yeah. You're living in a volatile area.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, other things that are happening that are more relevant. Samsung decided just to ruin their own announcements and accidentally posted up their Samsung Galaxy Note 9 video that appears to show everything.
What's your theory? You think they did this on purpose or just incredibly stupid?
I think it might be the latter. I qualify that. I will correct myself if they have this announcement and the Note 9 is not like the big announcement and they're actually revealing something else. And this is just a clever way to get early marketing. But I suspect that this one was, in fact, an accident.
There's a theory that things aren't going as well as they wanted this year with their flagship phones. They wanted to get a little buzz going for this one. You know, maybe. Yeah.
Maybe, but I mean, I don't think that's going to help you sell more phones. That's just going to get you.
Yeah. We can't handle a marketing event, you know, but no, the phone's fine. The market, we're just stupid when it comes to marketing.
I mean, they don't even need to host these events. They could just literally say, this one doesn't catch on fire and available.
What do you have to say about this phone? It's bigger and it has a pen.
Yeah.
I've just explained the whole thing. Oh, this time the pen's yellow for some reason.
Yeah, I mean
I'll save you the hour and a half it's going to take to sit through this presentation. That's the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. It really is. I mean, I'm just a little flabbergasted. I don't know. Phones are becoming like they are the new laptop, right? They're just kind of plateauing a little bit. There's not a whole lot more you can do.
Yeah, you know what you could do though is have a USB port that actually plugs in. See, that would be incredibly courageous and innovative. Oh, what's that? You say every other phone on Earth 30 does that? Oh, yeah. I see. Well, at least my phone didn't cost $1,000. Now I would like you to watch me banging my head into the table because seriously.
Yeah.
You know, like, but it's okay. It's okay. I'm not in Europe for 3 weeks where I'm completely screwed because of this phone. not a problem.
Yeah, I mean, I got nothing. You've got enough self-hatred going on. I don't think I need. I don't need to pile on that one.
Yep.
But it's a good thing you did bring an Android phone, because the your phone that should be called Mi Phone is now working. And you did you transfer some photos, Paul, between your phone and your PC? And how was it?
It was okay.
just okay.
Yeah, it's interesting. I have somehow I have an iPad connected to my Microsoft account that shows up in this app. You can't do anything with it. What it says is something like, "Right for right now, what you can do is go to the whatever app it is on the phone, and then use Share, and that's a way you can get stuff." And the Your Phone app does not work with iOS right now. Okay, with my Pixel, which was already connected, actually, I had to blow away my computer and reset it to make this work. This has nothing to do with the Europhone app. I had complained to you separately, maybe publicly or privately, I don't remember, but I've been having problems with the Surface Book 2, which is on the inside of preview. I did blow that away. Everything works fine now. So that's good. But it's only photos. You can only see the 25 most recent photos. So if it's in there a little bit, you're not going to see it, or at least I don't. If you click on a photo, it opens in the Photos app or whatever app you've set as your default for that kind of thing, for JPEG or whatever. And you can right-click and choose Copy. And then you can right-click somewhere else on your computer, your desktop, File Explorer, and choose Paste, and it copies it over, and that's fine. You know, I will say, you know, from sort of an efficiency standpoint, once this thing is working, one of the things I do pretty regularly, you know, I get like a new laptop in for review, and I put it in some room in my house, and I take photos of it with my phone, and I will make sure that Google Photos synced on the phone, and then I'll go back to my computer, whatever I'm using, go to Google Photos on the web, select the photos that I just took, download them to the computer, and do what whatever I'm going to do with them. So this would be more efficient, right? I mean, you can drag and drop them directly. You can't multi-select. And when I say multi-select, I mean multi-select either with like control click or just, you know, drag and drop. There's no multi-select. Look, it's going to happen. Yeah. I'm not going to be weird about this. They know, any human on earth would look at this and say, okay, here are the five things that need to happen here. They'll get this stuff right. It's fine. This is just an early peek. It's cool. I'm just glad it's here. You know, the version that shipped in the build on Tuesday, I think it was, didn't do anything. All you could do was click into it. It would go to the settings app and you could connect your phone to your Microsoft account. Maybe that was useful for people who hadn't done that yet. This new version of the app, which you can only get through the store and you can't upgrade to, which is kind of stupid, but whatever. Again, we're in a beta. It's cool. I'm not going to be worried about it, but it's super early. So the things that are missing, aside from the other photo functionality I off the top of my head realize does not exist, are things like notifications and messages, right? The other two big things that they promised to add to this app. So what is it? August 3rd. They're probably going to kind of complete the feature set here.
I see where you're going with this.
It's, you know, so we'll see in what's it going to ship like, right? If you want to flash forward a couple of months to the beginning of October when this thing becomes generally available to the public, will it have a full feature set on Android? Will it have any feature set on iOS? I don't know. You know, I'm not really sure. But I think at the very least, they'll probably deliver something a little better than what we're, I mean, well, better than what we're seeing on Android today. You know, maybe now, iOS is later.
Is that your phone is just an app, isn't it?
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe
they can update it over and over again. Yeah.
Yep. It's not tied to the OS, so it can do whatever it's got to do.
Yeah. Goofy fun fact, if you have the URL, you can actually download it to your Windows 10 version 1803 PC right now, too. You can use it to click into it to link to, you know, you can link your PC to the phone, which was something you could already do in Windows 10. But what you can't do is view your photos. So once the link is made, when you go back to the app in the current version of Windows 10, it says you need to upgrade to at least build whatever. It will not work. But if you're on the Windows 10 inside of preview, which again is pre-release software, it's fine. Get about three features. It's you know, view 25 photos, open them, you can edit them in the Photos app. You can copy them to clipboard. And that's it. That's what you can do.
That's more than you could do a couple weeks ago. So
it is. Yes. Yes, it is.
We will see. We will see. Other things happening in the world. Microsoft. Motorola's Z3 will be a 5G available. Well, hold on. I butched this up. Motorola's Z3 launches exclusively at Verizon, and it will get a 5G modem next year, meaning it's, I guess, technically the first 5G phone for a network that hasn't been deployed.
Yeah. Interesting. I've been out of the loop a little bit this week. This is, you know, we've got friends visiting, and we've been going out every day getting sun shock, and I have no idea what's going on. But I saw this Moto Z3 story, and for some reason I thought they had canceled it. Like, I thought it wasn't happening. They have done something with Verizon for each of the previous two generations of this device, right? This is the phone that has those modular backs that, you know, you kind of clip on. I kind of like the idea of it. They have a camera add-on that, you know, has the potential to have optical zoom that is meaningful, and I guess it doesn't work that great in real life, but it's an interesting idea. The notion of adding a 5G capability via a clip-on mod is kind of weird, because that prevents you from doing all the other stuff that you might do with mods. You know, they have speakers, like I said, the camera. I don't know what else they have. They have obviously probably dozens of these things, but it's a goofy way to do it.
Yeah. Yep. Just seething in anger, thinking about stupid
things. he's still burned about
this. Oh, no, this is going to ruin my weekend. It's going to ruin a lot of things, because it's not going to get resolved today. And then I'm just going to be sitting.
Yeah, it's something that is in the same kind of level of just doesn't make any sense. You know, weeks before our home swap, my wife mailed a key for our car to the people here so that when they arrived in New York, they could go to the parking lot at the airport, get in the car, and drive it home. That key never arrived.
Oh.
And my wife went down to the post office a couple of days, well, probably the day before we flew, and discovered that it had been sitting in New York the entire time. It was there at that time. Sitting in customs. Why? I don't know. Maybe it was because it's an electronic something, and they were like, maybe it's a mini bomb. I don't know. So that requires some scrambling. Driving to JFK was a horrific nightmare of a three-hour drive. My daughter got sick. We had to pull over, and it was so awful.
Yeah.
But one of the nice things that did happen at JFK was they actually have a place where you can leave stuff for people. There's like a, I don't know what you call that, but you sign in and you leave an envelope, you put the key in the envelope. And so it's right where you come out of customs. It was super easy for them to get our other key. And that's neat. And, you know, we've been here for a couple of weeks now. This thing just arrived in the mail today. It was just a piece of paper. And it's in Swedish, so we can't read it. You know, we can kind of Google Translate a little bit with the phone. But the interesting thing about this document is, it said the name of the people, and then it also said my wife's name on it. And we sent the photo of it to the people. We used, like I said, Google Translate. Yeah. The gist we got from this kind of postcardy kind of thing was the key has now arrived in Sweden.
Oh, nice. There you go.
And we can't get it because we're not the people here.
Right.
So the most likely outcome is they're going to have to do the same thing at JFK, leave the key for us. We're going to go home. They're going to mail the key back to us in the United States. And then sometime 4 weeks from now, that thing will arrive at our home, and we will get our key back after it having been out of our possession for like 6 weeks. And it's like, seriously, it's a thing. It's like this big. It's like a USB key size thing, you know? Frustrating.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Things that might also be frustrating are Fortnite is apparently ditching the Google Play Store, but that's rumored because it might be exclusive to possibly this guy. Yeah. And so that's why they're doing it. I guarantee it'll probably end up in the Google Play Store, but supposedly that's how they're going to get around that restriction.
It will be in their store, because I know Samsung has their own store.
Oh, right? Potentially, maybe it's in their store. But I bet it'll end up in Google Play. I think somebody wrote up that's like a timed exclusive. At least that's what they think so far. And if you want to play it on that device, then you have to go to their website and then, I don't know, authenticate somehow and then whatever. Someone will crack this APK in a matter of minutes, but there you go.
Yeah, that's interesting. Okay. Well, that will give them something to announce that goes beyond the 3 seconds it took me to reveal every feature in the phone.
Yep.
So maybe 5-6 seconds.
Well, they're going to have at least four people come up on stage. One talk about how great the screen is, and one talk mm-hmm. about how great the new S Pen is. One talk about how great the new camera is, and one person should just say, you know what, we don't care. Just please buy this.
We promise it won't blow up. Probably. We feel like we've gotten ahead of that problem.
It's. I don't know. I don't even know. I got nothing. You got anything else for today, Paul?
I just have one more thing, and I'm curious if you have any insight into this. So one of the things I keep talking about when I come, mm-hmm. when I travel internationally is I use Google Project Fi.
Yep.
And there's a huge savings that occurs here. And it's kind of neat. You'll use your own phone number, and you can send text messages, and it doesn't cost anything. You just use data. Now they have the data cap thing. So once you hit 6 gigabytes of data, the rest of the data is free, mm-hmm. you know? The only problem with Project Fi for me this year has nothing to do with Project Fi. It just so happens that my monthly bill runs from, not really from the first to the end of the month, but it's roughly from the second to the end of the month or whatever it is. Yeah. So because we're doing the home swap over July into August, I'm going to have two bills on which Project Fi will be used internationally.
Sure.
If I only had one, the savings would be incredible, right? Because mm-hmm. it would reset, you know, or whatever. Okay, so it's reset. But what that means is I got my final bill. So I just want to share this information. I think this stuff is interesting. I pay $20 a month for unlimited calls and texts, right? So that's the base part of the bill.
Yep.
And my base bill is that plus $10 for the first gigabyte of data, and then you pay taxes and fees, which amount to $2 to $5 depending on the month, whatever. So my basic bill, what I'm trying to say, is $30 per month. Because they have a 6 gigabyte data protection thing, the most they could charge me for data totally is $60, right? Which is 6 gigabytes yep. of data plus the 20, meaning the most my bill could be is $80 plus taxes and fees.
Sure.
And sure enough, my bill this past month was, I don't see it here, but it was $85 and change. Mm-hmm. I made one international call that cost me 20 cents. That was the full bill. We used 10.5 gigabytes of data, which is astonishing.
Yeah.
So I looked at it, and I don't see it right here on the screen in front of me. It doesn't matter. But let's say that roughly 80% of that data was tethered data, meaning you can also use the phone as a hotspot internationally. You can share the data with other people. I was sharing it with my wife. I shared it with my daughter. I shared it with my son. My son was only here for 1 week. And yet, you can see where this is going. He somehow managed in one 24-hour period to use 6 gigabytes of data. So I said, Mark, I'm curious. It's fine because it's, you know, I sort of figured I'd be spending
right
to the limit during the time you were here. I'm not going to come crashing down on you. But I do want to know, what did you do? Were you playing video games or something? Like what could have used mm-hmm. 6 gigabytes of data? You know what he told me? Reddit. This is where I need your help. Because I know what Reddit is. And yep. I've been to Reddit. I don't actually read Reddit every single mm-hmm. day. My son thinks it is the beginning, the end, and the middle of the internet. He thinks that everything he'll ever need to read and know about will be made available to him on Reddit. And that's fine. He's a young kid.
Yep.
Whatever. How on earth do you consume 6 gigabytes of data on Reddit?
So the only thing that I could think of here, and this could potentially explain it, but it'd be a lot. So one of the things you can do on Reddit is actually upload video directly to that website. So it's possible that he was watching videos that were uploaded to Reddit and on Reddit. A lot of the stuff is just linked to on other sites, like YouTube obviously hosts video, but you can host video on Reddit, and that's kind of my thought.
And did watch a lot of videos, for sure. So you think somehow he streamed 6 gigabytes of videos?
That's a lot of Reddit.
He is their dream customer.
Yes.
Well, I guess technically I am, but whatever. That's incredible. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's gone now, and he's home. He had a horrific time getting home. That doesn't really matter to this, but my data usage, it's like like a Fitbit thing. Like you walk a lot and then you're bedridden and suddenly you don't walk at all. And that's what my data usage looks like. If you look at it, it's like astronomical, and then it's like down to nothing. And then it's like, you know, it's used, but the unit of measurement has become megabytes, not gigabytes. You know, it's a completely different, it's like exponentially smaller.
Yeah, I got nothing. That's fun.
I can't go back in time and tell you not to have children. But what I can tell you is that they will be a source of great joy and great pain.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I know there's no way to follow that. I'm sorry.
No. I say that because my kid is upstairs and I can hear her running around. And my gut tells me she's not cleaning up.
Yeah. Yes. Right. Unless she's doing it very quickly, which is probably not happening.
Yes. And I hear the dog running around and, yep. All right. Do you got anything else before we,
I guess I do not. How about you?
Nope. I'm going to go call some people and try to find my monies and,
yeah, right. Sorry.
I'm just going to slowly drink by the, I figure the drunker I get, the louder I'll be, and maybe it'll lead to a faster resolution, or maybe I don't know, an insurance premium hike. So,
right.
So,
good luck.
All right, folks. So that wraps it up here for today. We'll be back next week, I think. And have yourselves a wonderful weekend.